Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 5. This morning we're going to speak on the sixth benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in His Son. And that is that we are given the power to overcome the world. So we turn to 1 John chapter 5 and reading from verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have read from your word this morning, believing, Lord, that your word was given to us for inspiration and for righteousness and training and all these wonderful things that you have done. But more specifically, Father, it is thus saith the Lord. And you have a promise that you've given to us, a benefit, in that we believe that Jesus was your Son. Now we know there's many who believe that Jesus is his own Father. We know that is error. We know that there are also those who believe that in a Trinity, that there is a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and all three are coexistent and all three are equal, and yet if they were coexistent, then one could not be Father and the other be a Son, because a Son has a beginning. And so, Father, we recognize, Lord, the error which has been taught throughout Christianity for over 2,000 years, but recognizing that you yourself have come down with a message to restore us back to that which was in the beginning, that the Alpha has become Omega, and believing, Father, that it was you who descended, as your prophet said, the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we recognize that you have come in spirit form, that you've come to give us a message which is a shout, and that is to get us ready to gather your elect together. And now, Father, as we would examine your word, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to understand the many, many benefits that you have given to us by simply understanding the doctrine of Christ and coming into that doctrine. So we commit ourselves to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, remember, the doctrine of Christ is, he that hath not the doctrine of Christ hath not God. So if you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. But he that hath the doctrine of Christ has both, or hath both, the Father and the Son. And we found that that word hath means to echo. So he echoes both the Father and the Son. Now, in this verse of Scripture, in 1 John 5 and verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So we're looking at this benefit to be able to overcome the world. Now, the key to our understanding this Scripture and its benefit to us is to know what this word overcome means. Now, the word overcome was translated from the Greek word nelao, which means to subdue, it means to overcome, it means to conquer, or to prevail against. Now, the word overcome in the English language is from two root words, over and come. Very simple. The word over speaks of ascending above or being on top of, and the word come speaks of an action or an approach. Therefore, to speak of overcoming, we are speaking of an approach that brings you above whatever is the object of your overcoming. I'd like to say that again. Therefore, to speak of overcoming, we are speaking of an approach that brings you above whatever is the object of your overcoming. I'm going to say that just one more time. Therefore, to speak of overcoming, we're looking at this word overcome, two words, over and come. Therefore, we are speaking of an approach, that's the coming, that brings you above, that's the over, whatever is the object of your overcoming. In other words, you are on your way someplace. There's a coming involved, or a becoming involved. And therefore, something gets in the way of that becoming. And so the overcoming is the ability to go over that thing so that you might come. All right? Now that's just how simple this word could be. In the case of our text, we read, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Therefore, they that do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, they do not overcome. Now, this scripture speaks of those who are believing that Jesus is the Son of God and tells us that they are the ones that overcome the world. Now, why would that be? Now, I want you to think about this. The word overcome means to go over while you are coming. All right, you're actually on your road someplace, and Jesus said, no man can come unto the Father except through me. So therefore, on your road to the Father, on your road to a fulfillment in who you are, beloved, now are you sons of God, but it does not yet appear what you shall be. But you know, when He shall appear, you shall be like Him, for you shall see Him as He is. So as you see Him as He is, you become what you are. And so in the process of this becoming, something gets in the way, and you've got to go over that thing. You've got to ascend that thing, which would prevent you from coming or becoming. And so He says, who is he that overcometh? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now this scripture speaks of those who are believing that Jesus is the Son of God and tells us that they are the ones that overcome the world. Now there are certain benefits to overcoming. Because to overcome shows that there is an obstacle in the way or some form of opposition to your coming. Or in this case, to your becoming. And to overcome means that you have been able to come over this obstacle and thus it has not hindered your arrival. We find this example of the use of the word in Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, verse 22, we read, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. Now this speaks to us of two in opposition to each other, where the one is able to overcome the other and thus not only defeat this opponent, but also is able to render the weaponry of the opponent useless. I like that because we're in a battle with the devil on a daily basis. And Jesus tells us that those that believe that Jesus is the Son of God are able to overcome the world, which we know the devil is a ruler of the present world system. Now the fact is that until you are able to overcome your enemy, you will have no rest. Nor will you obtain any lasting peace. But once you are able to overcome and de-arm your enemy, thus conquering your enemy or vanquishing that enemy, then you may have peace and rest that is assured. In John chapter 16 and verse 33 we read, these things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we have the example for us. Now we want to know then how it is that Jesus overcame the world. Now if Jesus has overcome the world, then he has overcome the enemy of our soul. And thus we have an assurance through him of peace that surpasses all understanding. Remember, he's the captain of our faith. In Matthew 11 verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So there's something about coming that allows us to overcome. You see, if your focus is on getting there, if your focus is on coming, then you're going to get over it, whatever that it is. Then you're going to overcome. All right? Now, this tells us that there is a struggle that we are in while we are in the world. And yet we are told to come. Well, come to who? He said, come unto me, and I will give you rest that you're looking for. Then if we are to come to him, we will have opposition to our coming, and yet we are told that since he has overcome, we too shall overcome. So our overcoming is a result of our focus not being distracted. Let me repeat that. Our overcoming is a matter of your focus not being distracted. How many ever swam? Grew up swimming. How many ever swam in a lake or whatever? All right. How many tried to swim from one point to another with your eyes closed so you didn't get water in your eyes? You couldn't do it, could you? You see these great swimmers, you know, they talk about the Olympics and there's some young man that's going to break, they're thinking he may break 8 world records or something, you know, during this, you know, 8 gold medals and stuff. If he had his eyes closed, he wouldn't make it from one end of the pool to the next. I swam competitively when I was a child, young boy. And I knew that if you close your eyes, you're going to start wandering. And pretty soon, you know, that's what they have, the laps, you know, they have the long, not chain, but it's a long, like, bobber rope in between the lanes for the young and the not-so-advanced swimmers. But they take those out when you're more advanced. You see, they keep their eye on the end of the road. They keep it on the end of the track, so to speak, if you're talking about racing. Paul said we run a good race. They keep their focus. When I was pole vaulting, I didn't look at the little box. I didn't go, you know, running down with my pole and look for the little box. I kept my eye on the pole going across, the object that I was going to go over. And I knew that, you know, I just slide that pole in. I kept my eye on that, and my pole would flex and bend, and I'd go shooting up into the sky, and I keep my eye right on that until I cleared it. And you notice these men, as they go up and they clear it, their body, they twist and everything else because they're trying to avoid that bar. See, if they didn't have their eye on the bar, they just hit it on the way up. If they're just trying to get as high as they could, there'd be no focus to what they're doing. They'd go straight up and straight down and not even go over the bar. So when we're talking about overcoming, we're talking about coming and getting over something. How many heard the expression, just get over it? How many times we get hung up on things? We get hung up on just little teeny things. Why? What's the big deal? Why can't we be flexible in life? God's flexible. We should be flexible. You see? Now, notice. Oh, let's see here. So we're talking about to overcome because God has made a way that we can overcome. He has given us the weapons of our warfare to arm ourselves with, and this begins with our receiving His very nature and His very life. Now, in 1 John 2 and verse 16, we read, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." So when we're talking about all that is in the world, the pride of life, get over it. The lust of the flesh, get over it. We're talking about overcoming. In John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I got over it. They spit in my face. I got over it. They slapped me in the cheek. I got over it. They put crowns of thorns on my head. I got over it. They put me in the grave, and you know what? I got over it. Hallelujah. He took them up. You see? In 1 John 4 and verse 4, he says, ye are of God. And now remember, the word "of" is an acronym. It means out from, O-F, out from. "Therefore ye are of God," you are out from God, little children, "and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." And notice, we are called His children because we are out from Him. And if we are His children, because we came out from Him, then like any other seed or nature, our nature will be governed by the law of reproduction, which is Genesis 1 and verse 11, which says that every seed must bring forth after its kind. Then like any other seed, our nature will be governed by the law of reproduction, and thus the law must reign in our mortal bodies as well. And that law of reproduction tells us that every seed must bring forth after its kind, and that means that it must come forth with the nature of the seed giver. So you read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, "Wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these..." Now what's a promise? It's words. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious words." You know, if I give you my word, I'm making a promise to you. God gave us His word. It's a promise to us. "That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So through the word of God, we receive the divine nature. Now in 1 John 5 and verse 4, we read, "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So we're talking about a new birth. We're talking about receiving the Spirit of God in us. We're talking about becoming, because now we are sons. Might not appear that we're sons, but at His appearing, something takes place. As you begin to know Him as He truly is, you begin to understand who you truly are. And by understanding who He truly is, it brings you into relationship with Him as sons, who you really are. Now, notice he says, "Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world." So in order to become, you've got to overcome. Or as you become, you are in the process of overcoming. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. How has it come? Even our faith. What is faith? It's a revelation. So you see that if you are truly born again, you will overcome the world. He that is born of God does not commit sin, because God's seed remaineth in him. Now the question is, how do we overcome? Well, he told us that it is through our faith. He said, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, not just any faith will do, for faith is a revelation. And Paul said there is one Lord and one faith. Therefore, there's one revelation, and that's the revelation of that one Lord. Now, the just will live by faith, and it's not our faith, but it is the faith of Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we read, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by, what? I live by the faith, the revelation of, out from, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The faith he had, we have. In other words, we live by his faith. Amen. The faith that he had, we have. And thus it's the same faith, same revelation. For there is but one faith and one Lord, and that one faith is in that one Lord, for faith is a revelation. That is what Brother Branham taught us in the rapture sermon. He said faith is a revelation, something that has been revealed to you. We have thus far seen that it takes the spirit of the overcomer himself to help us overcome. Now remember, early in the series we found that we received the Spirit of God through this faith, through this revelation. And we found that this one faith or one revelation is the revelation of Christ, which is the doctrine of Christ. And John taught us that if we do not have the doctrine of Christ, we do not even have God. And he said, he that hath the Son of God hath life. He that echoes the Son of God hath life. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us the same thing in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 2 we read, this only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. How many people seek the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit by doing, by works? And Paul says, this only would I learn of you. If I could just get you to learn this one thing, he says, did you receive the Spirit, by the works of the law, or by hearing of faith, by hearing of the revelation? In other words, outside of the true revelation of Christ, you cannot receive the Spirit of God. Then I would challenge anyone who says they were born again and filled with the Spirit of God outside of receiving the true revelation of Jesus Christ. Then outside of this message, you will not find a Spirit-filled man, except a man that is filled with a different spirit than the Spirit of God, demon-possessed. And you find plenty of them in this message as well. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, we read, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So our overcoming is based on his overcoming. He already overcame. And the same spirit that dwelled in his son dwells in you and I. Now, Brother Brown told us that only light can bring life. From man that can turn on the light, Brother Brown said, there's nothing can give you life but the spoken word of God. It's the only way that life can come is through his spoken word. And the Apostle Paul told us that it takes light to bring all things into manifestation. Now, a seed is not alive until it comes into manifestation. And it takes light to make manifest what is in the seed. In Ephesians 5 and verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whosoever doth make manifest is light. So people thinking they're born again before they come into this message, I'm going to tell you one thing. They're not. They're born of a corruptible seed, a corruptible word. There's two types of born again. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. So you can be born again of a corruptible seed, but it doesn't last. It's temporary. But he that's born of the word of God lives and abides forever, because the word of God lives and abides forever. So the very life that's in that word, Jesus said, my words are spirit, they're life. That very word, when it takes place, when it begins to come alive in you, the word becomes alive to you. And the world and the effects of the Word of God upon that world becomes alive and you see it, the living Word. He said, if you love me, we'll come and make our abode with you and manifest ourselves to you. Now, Brother Bram taught us, Now the problem is this, that many have come into this message and still never have seen the light of life. Because they came in, and before the voice of God could direct them into the glorious light of the doctrine of Christ, they found themselves in a church that took away that light that they had on those tapes, and they buried it under legalism and works programs. How many times I've had people come to me and been in this message 20 years. 20 years in this message, and all it was is a burden. It was works. It was legalism. I kept looking at myself instead of looking at Christ. But then when they begin to focus on Christ, what happened? Something happens. All the things that seemed to be tough before aren't so tough anymore. The great hill that seemed insurmountable before is no longer insurmountable. You've overcome it. Why? Because the life of Christ is in you. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 3:23, but before faith came, before revelation came, we were kept under the law, prisoners, so to speak, held down in bondage, shut up unto the faith. Couldn't see it. Why? Had our eyes on ourselves. But before faith came, before revelation, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, shut up unto the revelation, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith, by the revelation. But after that faith came, or is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Look, if you're justified by faith, if you're justified by revelation, it's not by the works you do. It's not by yourself. It's not by looking at what you can do, what you can't do. It's not by your faith or lack of faith. But if you're justified by faith, which is justified by revelation, it means that there's something about that revelation that strips off the old man and makes the inner man come alive. For just as Alpha has become Omega, as in the first church age, the legalists took over the message of the hour and tried to force the law and legalism upon the new converts and thus shut them out from the revelation of Christ that was to set them free. And so they turned their focus from Christ to works, to church programs, and they began to wander about seeking that rest, and they couldn't find it. And then we wonder why so many need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They can't get it under the law. It comes by revelation. But revelation has been shut out of this message. We talk about it, but when God truly does reveal himself to a little flock, and they begin to preach the doctrine of Christ, they are soon branded as preaching two gods. Just like they branded the Son of God. Just like they branded his followers. From the rejected king, Brother Branham said, oh yes, they wanted this king. And when they got the king, then the enemy began to put the eyes of the people out. And they couldn't see where they were going. And that's the first thing the devil does when he gets the servant of God. He blinds him to the fact that he's lost. And that's the first thing that the enemy does when they got Samson, another judge. They put his eyes out where he couldn't see where he was going. And as soon as the enemy of the Philistines come in upon Israel, they put their right eye out, so they couldn't see good where they were going. When the enemy comes into a church, he puts their eyes out to the real facts that the Holy Ghost is the one who rules and governs a church. All discipline is brought by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, I wish I could say the words that would make it go home to the right place, see? That it never would leave. That it would clinch in right there. God gave the Holy Spirit to rule and govern the church. The Holy Spirit. Now that's from the rejected king. Paragraph 38. From deceived church by the world, Brother Brown said, the Philistines is on thee. But the one blessed hope that we have while Samson was in jail, what's the first thing they done when they caught him? They bound him first. They took his power away. They found his secret. They found your secret. The world found your secret. Now you women all bob your hair. It goes like the world. You men all go and act like the world. It's all right. Tell jokes and dirty jokes and you say it's all right and go out and smoke a few cigarettes and run with the neighbor's wives and everything else like that. A little sociable drink to hold your job. Well, I'd rather lay on my belly and eat soda crackers and drink branch water and stay clean and pure before God than to compromise for any kind of job. That's right. True. Stay true to God. Amen. You see, he's talking about keeping your focus from the deceived church by the world. Samson the Philistines is on thee. Branham Tabernacle, worldlyism is creeping in among you. What about it? Have you exposed your secret? Have you exposed that secret that God gave you when you were wallowing in there in the sawdust a few years ago? Have you let it creep out by social, formal worship? What's happened to you? God can come down and perform a miracle and go right on through the audience and tell the people the secrets of their hearts and everything and heal the sick and afflicted and do signs and wonders and preach His Word as hard as they can by the Holy Ghost. And people say, well, I guess that's all right. We enjoy listening to it once in a while if we're not too tired. That's Branham Tabernacle. The Philistines is on thee. I think that's the message in general today. The Philistines is on thee. What has happened to the Church of America? Brother Branham in the vision, he said, stay in line! Because they're getting out of step. I can go to Africa and they'll travel 2,000 miles to hear the Word of Life. A man will travel 1 month down the Congo River by boat to hear the Word of Life. I can go to the Philippines and a whole church will walk 26 kilometers through thick jungles just to hear the doctrine of Christ. And yet here in America, they won't drive 3 miles to hear the same thing taught. They would rather take the easy way out and stay home and listen to a tape. Listen here, people. A tape doesn't replace a live ministry, because if God has anointed that ministry, His presence is there revealing Himself to the people. What America needs is a revival, but they won't get it because they don't want it. Brother Branham said, a deceived church by the world. He said, so revival in our day? How can we have it when the regular revival giver is bound by the world? God won't come in where the world is. You can just depend on that. You associate with the world, then it's all of it. When you let the world creep in, you go to acting like the world, then you are finished. But when you'll cut loose every fetter from the world and come to God, God will use you until you go to flirting again. Here's the only hope that I have this morning to wind up my message is this. While Samson was bound, a new shock of hair began to grow out. He's talking about we'll go on, because in paragraph 50 he says, but as Israel was bound by their kings, that they could not follow the real king, and the real king, when he came, they didn't recognize him, so too is it today, O Lord. The King of glory has appeared in the form of the Holy Ghost, and Lord, they don't know it. They don't recognize it. They're so organized, so tight, that they do not understand it, because it's not in their organization. Lord, this is the work of the devil that's done this to the people. May the Samson of God, may the true in heart, those who are longing and crying and pleading and holding on, may they stay with it, Lord, until this new crop grows out. Until there comes forth again a joy in Zion, and there comes forth a group that can recognize and understand, that can see the Messiah and the hidden power that's hid from the world, that they will not understand now. Grant, Lord, that they'll see this, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Scripture tells us how to overcome this morass that the Church of America has found herself in. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, and they that overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Notice he said there's two things, the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now let me just talk about the blood of the Lamb for just a moment. When a person has sinned before God, and that sin has affected another person, in order for the blood of the Lamb to be effectual, they must go to that person and make that thing right. Get it off your chest and do it right. Then when you put it together, you and that person you offended, put that under the blood. It's not to be brought up again. When you put something under the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's removed from under the blood of Jesus Christ, the person removing it is guilty of that sin. You put a virus away, and you remove that virus, you're going to get that virus just as sure as you removed it. And what is a virus? It's a demon. And you put those demons under the blood of Jesus Christ, they're there. They're put away. Don't remove them. How many times in a marriage do they go sour because they remember things from a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a year ago, 20 years ago? If it's put under the blood of Jesus Christ, let it stay under the blood of Jesus Christ. How do you overcome if you keep sliding back down the hill? Get to the top and keep moving. Get your focus on Christ. If the person does the same sin over again, or the same, maybe it's not even a sin. Scripturally, is it even a sin? Many times in the marriage, it's not a sin. So what are you bickering about? It may be a thing you don't like. So what? Get over it. Overcome it. I don't know why I'm saying these things, but I'm saying them by the grace of God, by the Word of God. Learn to get over it. Overcome. Notice, how do they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. And how else? How else do they overcome? By the word of their testimony. What does the word testimony mean? It's a witness. And they loved not their lives unto death. Notice he said, these are two things, the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. But no one is willing to testify anymore. And so they fall deeper and deeper into apathy until they leave the church and sink into sin, just like Samson. They're bound and blinded. Bound by organization that says, if my church doesn't teach that, then I don't want to hear it. And thus they blind themselves to understanding what this message is all about. And they blind themselves to the meaning of the shout. And they revert back to some program that can get the people involved in their church programs. But the Apostle Paul told us that will never work. In Galatians 5 and verse 6 he said, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. It doesn't matter, he said. He said, but faith which worketh by love. So there's your key. You want your marriage great? Faith, revelation that worketh by love. Now remember, love doesn't look at self. Love looks at the other. The old 80-20 principle. Be willing to give 80 and receive 20. It is not enough to have faith, which is revelation. But that revelation must work by love. Because if you have the right revelation and don't have the love to project that revelation to the people, remember when love projects, even the bowl sat down. Even the swarm of bees turned away. Because if you have the right revelation and don't have the love to project that revelation to the people, it is no good to them. Because they need to see it manifested in order to see the life that is in that word. But we have by the grace of God a promise by the Son of God that God Himself will watch over the true elect and not let them slip off into a morass of obscure vision. He that began the work will perform it. And we know that Jesus was able to overcome the world because the Father kept Him and thus will also keep us. For it is by His life living itself out in us that we are able to overcome. I just look at the life of William Branham. In our day, we had to have an example. God gave us an example of a man that was an overcomer. Even when caught under the pressures, and when he lied to the IRS, or not the IRS, but to the attorney, he called him back and told him. He went to pray, and God said, no, I'm not even going to hear your prayers. You go back and make it right first. He did. He didn't hem and haw and say, well, you know, I was kind of in, but I was out, but you know, actually, no, he just went back and said, look, I lied to you. I lied to you. Why do we try to pat it? Why can't we just be honest and open? Hey, look, if you disagree with your wife, she wants a certain way and you disagree, just say, look, honey, I disagree. Now, I'd like to make you happy in every way I can, but, you know, let's find a way to make this thing work for both of us. And if it's not something that's in the Word, then just leave it alone. Why get so upset about it? You know, if it's not adultery, if it's not fornication, if it's not one of these, you know, sins that can rent, it's just, you know, maybe they shovel their food down the wrong way or something. Just let it alone. Why disrupt a wonderful spirit in a family because somebody crunches oats when they eat? I mean, is that an important thing? So you sound like a horse. Well, there's a lot of good things about horses. Should be kind to horses. You got a husband for one? Hey, just love him anyway. Amen? Look, why do we take the little things? You know what it is? It's the devil. He gets on your back, you get annoyed, and we're going to look at this in just a second here. Because there is something about that that annoys. It eats at, it aggravates. But that's part of overcoming. Why does the Bible say forbear one another? Because we all don't see eye to eye. Husbands and wives don't see eye to eye. Children and parents don't see eye to eye. But if we have a single focus, we see Christ. As I said, it's not enough to have faith, which is revelation, but that revelation must work by love. Paul said, but faith which worketh by love. Because if you have the right revelation and don't have the love to project that revelation to the people, it's no good for them. It doesn't do them any good. Because they need to see it manifested in order to see the life that's in that word. But we have by grace, as I said, a promise of God, promised by the Son of God, that God Himself will watch over, keep, protect, and help us to overcome. Because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Because He that began the good work in you will perform it. In John 17, verse 11, He says, and now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are one. So these people that think that God and Jesus were one like your fingers one, well, then you got to believe that we and God are one like your fingers one. Because Jesus prayed that we would be one, even as, in the same manner as He was one with the Father. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest Me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Now the Apostle Paul gives us some direction concerning how to overcome. When he tells us not to allow evil to overtake us, but that we should overcome evil with good. Notice in Romans 12 and verse 21, he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. If you don't like his chewing oats, put on some Praise Strings music or something. Turn up the radio a little bit. This word evil was translated from the Greek word kakos, which means worthless. It means depraved or injurious and noisome. Noisome, there's your cracking oats. All right? In other words, that which is offensive and annoying. So Paul is telling us not to allow ourselves to become annoying, offensive, and worthless, but he says rather conquer this obstructive behavior with good. And the word good simply means that which is of benefit to someone. So that's for me. If I start cracking my oats like a horse, maybe I should just get up from the table and eat in the other room. Therefore, instead of being worthless or annoying, we should be of some benefit to others. Now, we also find in the Scripture that we are given the Word of God to benefit our situation. In Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. It's inspired. That means to inspire means to breathe. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Therefore, why would we hold to any word except what God has provided us with His own word? In Romans 3 and verse 4 we read, For God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. So we're told by the Apostle John that it is the word of God that helps us to overcome. Notice Paul said, God forbid, let God be true. Let every man be a lie. Every man's words be a lie, but mine be true, saith the Lord, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Why? Because we're saying what God said. In 1 John 2 and verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Now we must ask the question, how do we overcome the wicked one? Well, John gives us the answer in the next verse. He says, I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. And thus ye have overcome the wicked one. How does a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word. Now in closing, let's look at some indicators, or as Brother Branham would put it, some identifiable characteristics that you have overcome the world. And the Bible clearly tells you how that you know that you have overcome the world. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11 we read, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And remember, Brother Ram told us that to hear means to understand. So he that understandeth, let him understand what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So you have a promise that you will not die, but that you will be made alive in Christ. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So he that hath an understanding, let him understand what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. How do you know you're overcoming? You're able to hear. You're able to eat of the hidden manna. And will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now I like that. Because we've been eating from the hidden manna for the past 20 years. And while the churches in America are dying left and right, we're eating from the manna of Christ, which is hid to the rest of the world. David said in Psalm 91 verse 7, 1,000 fall at my right side, and 10,000 at my left. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right, but I shall not come nigh to thee. For I have been alive in Christ and kept alive by the hidden manna. The Bible says that day would not come until there comes a falling away first. And I've seen them falling away for the past 25 years. 1,000 at my left, 10,000 at my right. And I'm so thankful that it just makes me appreciate the Lord more and more for opening my eyes to His presence and His glory among us. Now in Revelation chapter 26, he that overcometh. Here's another indicator whether you've overcome. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Now the ministry of William Branham has gone into 170 nations in the earth in just 39 years. If that isn't power over the nations, I do not know what is. Because the word power in the Greek here comes from the word exousia, and it means authority and influence. Yes, brothers and sisters, this word is alive and has manifested itself throughout the nations. Revelation 2 and verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And we are eating, or are we not eating? Are you eating from the word of life? Or are you not eating from the word of life? I ask that question to you this morning. Are we eating fresh manna each week? Or are we just eating regurgitated manna over and over again? Has this word become alive to us and in us and through us? Or is it just the same old carrion? Now you have sat here faithfully over the years, and you've seen the word come alive. You've seen things preached on become manifested. You be the judge. Revelation 21 and verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So in order to inherit all things, we must become adopted. And in order to become adoptable, we must be sons that have the Father's mind in us. And the Son of God, our older brother, he showed us how to have the mind of the Father when he said, I have not come to do my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. He said, the Son can of himself do nothing but whatsoever he seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. He said, the things that I speak, the Father taught me to say, and those things that the Father commanded me to speak, and those things I speak, I teach. He said, it's not my doctrine, but his that sent me. There's your mind of the Father. Let this mind that was in Christ be in you. And Revelation 3 and verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Are you a pillar in the church, or are you just kind of a pew sitter? And he shall go no more out. Let me read again. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall no more go out. Out from where? From the presence of the Lord. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. And let me say this. The new name is not some idiotic pronunciation of the name of Jesus as Joshua or Ashua or Joshua or Yehovah or Yahweh or some silly childish pretensions as that. The name is Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. That is what God himself told William Branham, that Jehovah of the old is Jesus, not Yahuwah or Joshua or Ashua. He said it is Jesus. God said that. And that's the new name, and that's good enough for me. And if God changes it again, then I'll be waiting for him to say it. But until then, it's Jesus to me. Now look, you had better say what those tapes say and forget any private interpretations, because Peter said that this Bible is not of any private interpretation, so just forget it and stick with thus saith the Lord. Because if you don't stick with thus saith the Lord, you are not bride. Because Brother Ram said the bride will have thus saith the Lord, which means the Lord said thus, or shall keep still. Amen. So forget private interpretation. Now, Revelation 3 and verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I am overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. You've got to get over it to sit with him in his throne. In Revelation 3 and verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And the word confess means to say the same thing. Homologia. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Hallelujah. Your gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, because we've recognized another benefit today. The benefit to overcome the world. And it's not a matter of what we do or how we can do it, but it's a matter of entering into you. To get our focus so that we can come to thee. Because you said, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And so if we come to thee, Father, we recognize that we cannot come to thee except through your Son, Jesus. All that come to the Father must come through me, he said. And so we come in that name, the most beautiful name we know, Jesus. Not Yahshua, not all these other names. It's Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, many, many millions, if not hundreds of thousands of demons were cast out through the ministry of William Branham. Not in the name of Joshua, not in the name of Jehovah, but in the name of Jesus. And Father, we come in that name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Believing, Father, that we are overcoming because we are coming over to thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And no matter what obstacle we reach, no matter what obstacle the devil puts before us, Father, our focus is on thee as true sons. Amen. Not our own doctrine. That could be an obstacle. Amen, Lord. Not our own thoughts. That could be an obstacle. Not our own speech. That could be an obstacle. Not our own actions. That could be an obstacle. But your Son said, not my will, but thy be done. Hallelujah. And our own will could be an obstacle. So we get rid of our will, we get rid of our speech, we get rid of our actions, we get rid of our doctrine, and we only take your doctrine, your speech, your actions, your will. Hallelujah. And now we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by our testimony. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.